Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's been a minute. I feel like we're doing false advertisement because we keep telling our listeners that it won't be long before we do another episode, and then here we are a month later.
I feel like we should just say the show is every month until the end of COVID.
Business is starting to pick back up, literally, figuratively, everythingly.
COVID cases are also starting to pick back up.
But what happened was, amongst all the Native American team names being discussed, Courtney's local Washington, no longer the Redskins, changed their name to the Washington football team.
I mean, I guess they're local to my area. I don't claim them as such in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I didn't say you claim them. I'm just saying they're local to you. You're closest to them. Look, everybody made fun of them, but it's not like they had a lot of time to, like, choose a name.
Well, let's circle back and, like, go back through this decision-making process. From the beginning, this was always a short-sighted decision. Not the actual changing of the name. They actually should have been prepared with kind of what their thought process or game plan would have been if they ended up doing that.
It's not like people haven't been calling for them to change their name for like
for a decade. Years. Like, it's not been a small, like, and the DC City Council has made it clear for a number of years. Like, since I've been up here, and I've lived here for 7.5 years now, they weren't going to get the RFK. So RFK was where they played prior to moving to the current building.
It's a freaking, it's kind of like, dumpster.
It is a dumpster, but it's prime real estate, right, like, in the middle of DC, not downtown DC, but in the middle of DC. It's a huge lot. The Redskins have wanted to move back there, but they've made it clear that it's not happening if they don't change the name. That has been the DC Council's stand since I've been here, and I don't think that there's a scenario where that stand changes. They should have at least had it in their back of their minds, and, like, at least how they wanted the process to go if they decided one day that, like, they couldn't buy enough politicians to, like, let them move without it.
Our best friend suggested that they should call themselves the Washington 1932 since they were established in 1932, which would have been kind of neat for however long.
That would have been interesting for the first, like, news cycle, and everybody would be confused again.
And all the other names are tied up in trademark litigation.
Yeah. Yeah. That is hilarious because there was so much, because they didn't have a plan when they actually decided to do this. They said they were going to do it. And then people just started, like, on Twitter, because that's what people do, they just started talking about different names. Well, there's a real estate investor in Alexandria or Arlington, one of the A's. In Northern Virginia, and he literally just grabbed all the trademarks for all those names that people were kind of talking about as potential names. Again, if they had a process, they could have seen this coming, and now if they decide to pick one of those names,
they're going to pay that man a lot of money.
Right, they're going to tie up in litigation. Like, there's no, like, why? And then when they said they were going to change the name, the other thing is, I don't know why they didn't just say it was going to be a long process and that they would announce a new name at a certain point. Like, I don't know why they didn't just do that from the start. It just doesn't make any sense. I was like, a rebrand process takes
at least 2 years.
Right. Like, I was at Disney Sports when the rebrand from Disney Sports to ESPN's Wide World of Sports was happening. It was announced before my internship started. We were the class that got to do a lot of, like, the work, like, redoing the website, you know, changing the brand guidelines, all of that thing. We were kind of part of that process because our marketing team obviously was working on it. But we were going from one really well-established brand to another really well-established brand. And it still wasn't complete when I left a year later the turnaround was not complete. And those were, and it, we weren't making up a brand. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't making up fonts and tone and colors and merchandise and every, like, we weren't doing any of that, making anything up. We were literally going to a brand that already had distinct and recognizable brand standards. Like, and that still took a year. What made you think that the Washington could be ready for this new football season? Like, you still technically got to play this year in some sort of uniform and some sort of thing.
You think they'll ever wear, like, Redskin stuff as, like, throwbacks, like, 15 years down the line?
That's also a really interesting question, because I don't know how they do. If you got rid of the name because it's a racial slur, which it is, then why would you go back and do a throwback game? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I think you even go to a set of questions about, like, how do you start to get the, how do you start to get the fans to phase out their gear that they would wear to a game?
That ain't happening. That ain't happening for a very long time.
But as a team that is trying to move away from literally using a racial slur, like, it probably should. They should probably be encouraging their fans to do it. Do some sort of, I don't know, some sort of buyback program. I don't know what the answer is, but. You should probably be pushing forward some sort of, like, plan to try and get people to move with you, you know?
So amongst the Washington football team that's been the, in this day and age of kneeling and protesting and, you know, people being offended by certain names, it's like a virus, no pun intended. Everybody's like, my Atlanta Braves, they're thinking about trying to get the Atlanta Braves to change the name. They've already, I guess, gotten rid of the chop as a symbol. I tell you what, though, people are starting to come, or people are trying to come once again at Florida State's neck. And I'm like, nah, that ain't gonna work, homie. I mean, every single time this issue comes up, somebody mentions Florida State and they neglect to realize what, like, our relationship is with the Seminole Tribe of Florida and why they give us that blessing to use the Seminole name.
Here's the thing. You know what the difference is? The FSU got in front of the problem and had a plan. Yeah. Like, does it preclude FSU from ever, like, having to change the name? No, it does not. But A, the name isn't a racial slur, so, like, that helps things, and there's no crazy caricatures of the depiction of the Seminole Tribe of Florida. So that also does help, you know, because the Cleveland Indians are coming for their necks. They didn't get rid of Wahoo. Like, why? Like, I don't get it. Like, Florida State had a plan. They got in front of the issue, and at least they can go back and say, this is our history. This is what we do. This is who we have our blessing from. This is how we've tried to incorporate their culture into our school in many different ways. Blah, 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 blah. If I have one thing that FSU should probably do in my mind, it's figure out a way to have an actual Native American as
Chief Osceola?
Yes. I understand the complications about that because of, like, the level of skill you have to have on specifically riding a horse, but that would be a nice thing.
Yeah, I think last episode we kind of talked ad nauseum about the other protesting that's going on. So problem is still there, still prevalent. We still see every single day some new issues, and yet, the more we keep talking about it, the officers who killed Breonna Taylor just straight up chilling. Attorney General's just, like, living ghetto fabulous.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Pretty much.
So, our commander-in-chief.
Used the word incredibly loosely.
Yeah, for real. Apparently, he wanted to do his own impression of Dr. Fauci. Because Fauci threw out the first pitch for the Nationals game on opening night. Trump wanted to throw the first pitch at the Yankees game, but I don't know if he just didn't ask or he just wanted to invite himself and assume that they let him do it.
Yes, he really just, he didn't ask, they didn't ask him, he just said he was doing it. And then everybody had to like be like, what? And apparently he also had something on his calendar that day. So his team was like,
Did he just say, he's like, oh, I'm not going to do it. And then the Yankees were like, well, we didn't invite you anyway. So I don't know what this reminiscent of the Warriors when the Warriors won the championship. And from the get go, they were like, we're not going to the White House. And then he was like, well, y'all are not invited to come to the White House to celebrate your championship. And Steph was like, we weren't coming anyway. So what difference does it make whether you withdrew it or not?
Right. And the thing about it is that I do kind of commend the Yankees for not publicly throwing him under the bus. Although I commend them on kind of a professional level, not on like a real level. I do kind of commend them on that because they didn't call him out initially when he said it. You just kind of like let it float in the air. And they did take a lot of heat from people being like, but why? And so then, you know, they didn't say anything until he backed out and they were like, well, you know, we didn't have a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I commend them for at least at the beginning being professional and being the bigger quote unquote people.
As these sports organizations, you know, return to some semblance of competition, each league has taken a different approach as to how to, you know, finish or start a season.
Correct.
We talked last episode about the NBA and their bubble at the, Courtney, what is it?
The ESPN's Wide World Sports.
There you go. Apparently this bubble looks like a scene right out of NBA 2K online with, you know, you got your NBA barbershop.
Apparently there was like a list super deep trying to be one of the barbers, yeah. At the barbershop. Like it was cutthroat. And apparently people, barbers who could also braid, were given a higher priority.
That is dope.
Yeah.
Adam Silver, NBA trying to do everything they can to make sure that they do this as safely as possible.
Yep. They're leading the way, too. Just FYI, yeah. To those you don't know.
Their counterparts, WNBA, is right along with them. You know, granted, they're a smaller, smaller facility, but obviously they have less teams.
IMG Academy is a school, specifically a high school, but it's also like one of those high schools that kids go to get elite sports training, specifically. So a lot of like football players and things like that are go to IMG for high school, but also get like outsized.
I do like how the NBA has tried to make like the home team feel at home during their game. Like they have the video boards full of like virtual fans, which is kind of dope. You know, they brought in all their, like, home team-specific, like, music that they normally play, like, during the game. Like, little sound bites and stuff. Other than the court looking the same, I mean, it's a pretty cool atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, Live World Sports definitely has fantastic facilities. And they do live up to kind of being able to, like, host this level of competition. One thing that was really interesting, I saw there's an article because, well, for those of you who don't know, which we won't, obviously, ESPN's Wide World Sports, their first VP, the person who like shepherded along was Reggie Williams. He was a former NFL player. And so he shepherded along, but one of his biggest things was like he wanted it to be like authentic. He wanted it to be able to host high-level youth sports, pro sports, all of those things. And so the complex was kind of built in that kind of grain. I mean, this is also where the Pro Bowl, like all the Pro Bowl outside of the game activities have happened the last several years. There's a lot that happens there. Them being able to like brand it and do all these things, like number one, Disney is the branding king of the world. So, but basically they have zero cases again of the coronavirus because they're locked in a bubble. They're safer than all of the rest of us.
As long as everybody follows the directions.
Well, but here's the thing. They're also being really strict if you don't follow the directions. I forgot the player's name, but the player went across the line to like pick up food. Like he is having food delivered. And they were like, yeah, go quarantine for 14 days. Like go sit in your room. And they just said they aren't playing. Like,
and following directions and snitching.
Look, correct.
You know, being macho, being a dude, being a professional. I don't know, whatever. But everybody has this, like, Ja Morant came out and said, like, I ain't see nothing, I ain't saying nothing. Dude, look, if this goes right and everything, you know, gets completed, I don't care who I'm snitching on. I'm telling. If you're doing something you're supposed to, man, get out of here.
Apparently there's a hotline. And yeah. I mean, it's been said that people are snitching. Like they don't have, because here's the thing. It is literally your health. And because with this disease, we don't really know like how it affects the lungs and all of these things, even when you're asymptomatic, because of that, we can't like their bodies are their livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope they'll snitch. Like they're going away from their families for a time that they're not used to being away from their families. Like for this kind of extended period of time, they have no women to entertain them.
They speak for yourself, because Lou Williams went to Magic City.
No, in the bubble, in the bubble, and we'll get back to Lou Williams. But you know, it's basically like summer camp, like basketball summer camp. They're playing video games, they're playing sports, they're watching TV, they're going to practice. That's all they're doing. I'd snitch too.
Lou Williams apparently had to go to Atlanta for a funeral?
It was a sanctioned emergency, so he did not leave the property just because he felt like it. He didn't sneak out, which there was some like weird conversation initially that might have been what he did. That is not what he did.
And, you know, this man went to his favorite wing place, Magic City, just happens to be a strip club as well. And look, I've been to some, you know, adult entertainment facilities that have amazing food. I understand.
Smiley has definitely been there.
Look, it is what it is. We have a strip club here named Wackos. Apparently, they have amazing burgers. You know, call apparently. It what you will. I haven't had the burgers yet. I've had the wings.
Oh, okay.
But they're famous for their burgers. But anyway, one of his homeboys who apparently didn't know the code put a picture of him up on Instagram eating some wings at a strip club, which was it open for adult entertainment?
I would assume so because it.
Yeah, that was a no-no. So they had to investigate. Apparently, Adam Silver went to Atlanta and like interrogated like darn near the entire staff. Which,
okay. I did not hear that. I hope it is actually true because that is hilarious. I also love how the NBA has better contact tracing than the rest of the country.
It's crazy. Like I've read some articles about even the media that's been in allowed inside the bubble. They have like little wristbands that if you get too close to each other, it starts beeping.
Yeah, they are definitely, you know, really trying here to make sure that bubble is secure and that nobody's doing anything they shouldn't be doing.
The NHL has more than one bubble.
Correct. Toronto, Edmonton, and Alberta.
Okay.
So three. Or hub cities is what they're calling them.
Canada not allowing Americans to travel there?
Pretty much. So basically they had to go quarantine and then like, because, you know, Canada is not actually open. Yeah, so they're doing theirs. Smiley and I only know limited amounts of what's happening in the bubble. But the only thing we do know is that, again, they have had zero positive cases. After all of these places had initial cases when people were going into quarantine because that was when they were taking their first test. Mm-hmm. And then they quarantined and then they had to have a negative test before they were allowed in the bubble. So we all remember like Russell Westbrook had a positive test. Well, he was still in Houston. And then when he could come and join his team once that had been, you know, it kind of ran its course.
Oh, let's not forget the MLS is down there with the NBA doing their thing too.
They're also at Wide World Sports. But the MLS had one team, the FC Dallas, that had to pull out of the tournament because they had so many cases, so many positive cases in Dallas before they came to their bubble. And once that team pulled out, the MLS was good. And then also the, what is it, the National Women's Soccer League, their bubble is also working. After they got the Orlando team out the paint, their bubble has been working effectively as well. And they, I believe, are in Utah. So the bubbles are working even wherever they're at. It's just about limiting access and limiting movement. Like, that's literally all the bubble is doing. It's saying, you can't go out here, you can't go out here, and you can't come in. And we test people, and they stay safe. As Dr. Rivers said, maybe these leagues should give their plan to the government.
A lot of encouragement from the basketball tournament, TBT, that had everybody basically in a bubble in Columbus. And they were able to run that tournament for 2 weeks, no problem.
I mean, you can do it. You just gotta do it. Like, that's the thing.
Somebody needs to tell Rob Manfred and Roger Goodell
how to do it, right? The NBA, all of these leagues we talked about need to send their plans to the NFL and probably college football as well, since that's the other sport that people are worried about.
Major League Baseball, first of all, Major League Baseball had the opportunity to create a bubble-like situation a couple months ago.
And the players actually rejected it. But they were going to do one in Arizona.
I think it was Arizona and somewhere else, right? Or was it all in Arizona?
No, I thought it was only in Arizona.
Okay.
But I also recognize that was during the time that the owners were trying to, like, have less games and da-da-da. It was just, there was a lot going on. So I don't know that the players rejected it because they just rejected it, or rejected it because of the other things around the around kind of what was happening. I'm not sure how that rejection happened. But at least one team, the Miami Marlins, now regret that decision.
And it's like, not even ironic. Like, it would be a Florida team that just messes up the entire thing. Like, they had to suspend all of their games this week. They can't play until Sunday.
Yes. And who knows how it's going to be, because I feel like these little outbreaks are going to continue to happen, because if people are going from the park to home, like, if they're doing things, you know what I mean? You just don't know how you're going to get infected. And also, you know, there are some states with really serious outbreaks. So, like, the Rangers and the Astros, you know, all the California teams, mm-hmm. Florida teams, like, I mean, there are teams that have serious outbreaks, and that is something, and you can't legislate around that, because people are gonna do what they are allowed to do, basically. I mean, that's what we've learned, right? People are gonna do what they're allowed to do, even if they're advised to do something else.
Yep. The NFL, man.
Yes.
Look, we weren't very confident that the NFL was going to have a season when we taped our last podcast almost a month ago.
I think I'm more confident that the NFL is going to start the season. I'm not necessarily confident that the NFL is not going to, like, that they're going to complete this silly season. And I feel like with the NFL, I understand why the NFL, like, thought they could kick the ball down the road. I do. Because they were not in season when the stuff first started going down, and during initial projections, had we done what we were supposed to do, we'd be in a place today where we would be really able to start things again and it not be a serious issue. But that being said, it goes back to, like, plan B and preparation. Like, we're talking about the Redskins or the Washington football team. You needed to also have a plan for what it was going to look like if you needed to create bubbles.
And apparently Roger did not have a plan whatsoever, and they've had so many months to take a look and see what everybody else did, and they've apparently done nothing.
I mean, there is some, like, rumblings that there's some, like, plan out there in space, but they most certainly have not been talked about it.
The only thing I've seen of any type of plan is that Rydell or somebody has created this full facial shield to put on their helmet.
And that the players are talking about that not wanting to wear it.
Yeah. They basically sound like all these, you know, state leaders. Like, oh, you're encouraged to wear it, but you don't have to.
Right. And that's the thing. I'm really tired of you're encouraged to, but you don't have to. Like, I'm tired of that rhetoric. Like, people, you have when you have the right to make a decision and enforce it, make a decision and enforce it, because that's actually what's making this whole thing worse, is all of these kind of, well, there's a mandate, but we aren't going to enforce it. Nah, give a couple people, a huge fine, and they'll all of a sudden get with the program.
Now, apparently, me and Courtney seem to disagree on this topic of, me personally, I don't think football in general is, you at the professional level, I don't think a bubble is doable just based on it. I think it's doable if they have sites that have turf fields. You're not gonna be able to play a bunch of games in a bubble on grass, especially with maintenance.
Right, but here's the thing. Couple things. So, A, like, the NHL is doing a bubble, and there just literally aren't that many hockey. I mean, maybe there are more in Canada, but...
Yeah, because it's their national sport.
Right. But they have three different bubbles. My thing is, you don't have to adhere to Sunday games. You don't have to adhere to a lot of things. So, I'm just confused. Like, also, they grow grass fields all the time. Bring them in, rotate them in and out. I feel like this is possible. And there are enough stadiums that there are turf fields. So if you wanted to do a bubble in Dallas for the NFC East, which is crazy, but like, do it in Dallas and everybody play at Cowboy Stadium. Like, you do it by division. You could have six bubbles. Like, that's the thing. You could have as many bubbles as you need to have. You don't have to have one. Like, basketball is unique and soccer is unique because they just have open space. But even soccer, like, they're all playing on grass because that's what's at ESPN Wide World Sports. Because technically, in these cases, with no fans, you don't even need a stadium to play. You just need a field.
And I think that's the other part of why I don't think it's possible, because it has nothing to do with it not being possible. It's the fact that these NFL players are like probably divas and feel like they do not want to play on a freaking high school field.
Stop. First of all, if any sport is a diva, it is the NBA, period. They are the richest, and Major League Baseball.
All right, maybe diva, like, was the wrong word.
But here's the thing. The players are not actually the ones that are going to be problematic with the fields. Because remember, players played on St. Louis's field that had concrete underneath it for years, even though people were legitimately getting hurt. The players don't have any rights in the NFL. So what divas are they going to be? Like, it's a freaking global pandemic. With the number of players that have actually opted out, I think that the players would have been just fine with playing on. I don't think the field would have been their thing. I think it would have been being away from their families, because they're not, as you think about it, the NFL, because of they have the least travel involved in their schedules of all the major sports. So I think that they would have been, that would have been a huge, like, point for them. But the players, like, they just don't have any rights in the NFL. So,
and how often would they play? I mean, I know, you know, half the time they go from Sunday to Thursday, but
again, we know the NFL doesn't care about player safety. So,
well, yeah.
So how often they play? Like, I mean, you just basically have to be prepared to be in your bubble from like July, like 6 months in a hotel, which would just suck. Like, but you'll survive. You know what I mean? And you create a bubble, and there would be movement, but it could just be controlled movement. Like, yeah, I agree that, like, it's going to be hard to, like, not play anywhere. So if you feel like turf field is the thing, then you put it in whatever. But also, let's be really honest. they could have just outfitted a couple more stadiums with turf fields. Like, the NFL could just paid for that to happen and been done with it. Just a turf field, really, that's not enough of a problem to, like, not have it. And, like, if you wanted to, again, if you wanted to have a bubble or hub city per division, or you could even, in theory, put, like, the AFC and NFC East and, you know what I mean, do four, and then you just have to control travel to the bubbles. But if you did, like, the AFC and the NFC, because remember, like, you play another division. Like, the way the NFL schedule works out every year, you play your division twice, and then you play the entirety of two other divisions, and then there's, like, the rest of the games are games that are based on your placement in the league, right? So if you did the AFC and the NFC East in one city, you could just have everybody in that bubble play everybody else, because that's how the schedule's already set up anyway. You know what I mean? And then you have even less movement, and you just shift everybody. So then the next set of bubbles, you shift everybody, and then the next set would be essentially you put everybody in your bubble then, and then you could work it out for the last, like, two games, right, that are on the schedule. And all of a sudden, you only move people once, maybe twice, right, for the entire thing.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, like, I feel like the NFL, there were ways to do it. You just had to want to do it. And you just had to believe that you needed to have a fully worked out plan B before all this stuff started happening. And now players are opting out. And players are opting out. Like, I want you to know, remember, like, players are opting out. They are only making $150,000 this season, which is still substantially less than what the veteran minimum is. And it's not even like they're making $150,000. It's a loan against their future contract. So if they play this year, don't play this year, take the 150, but then they don't have a job next year, they have to pay that back. But players are dropping out left and right because it's still a health emergency. Like, it is still a global pandemic. They've got families, young children, people in their lives that are immune compromised. Like, every day players are dropping out. What you need is a high-profile player to drop out. That's what you need.
It ain't going to be Pat Mahomes. Man is now the poster boy.
I mean, they're going to do everything in their power not to make sure it's Pat Mahomes. But you better hope that Pat Mahomes doesn't magically contract the virus. Or not magically. Like, but he's out and about in Kansas City doing his thing, being alive. Like, you don't know when or where you're going to contract the virus. So
our kids will have a whole, well, they'll have a whole different meaning of bubbles. Because usually, you know, when I was a kid, you know, bubbles were like cute and you blew them out the bottle and, you know, they're nice. This virus and these sports leagues have taken the definition of bubble and turned it into a completely different dynamic for the rest of our lives. First of all, we have no fans at these Major League Baseball games, and it's not even the first week yet. And I forget what podcast we did months ago where I told you it was like the Astros cheating. Everybody is going to take a shot at them, and the commissioner needs to find a way. He has to find a way to protect them or do something different, because, you know, with baseball's unwritten rules, even Major League Baseball spring training games before the league got shut down, spring training games, Astros players are getting plunked left and right. And now, this first week, homeboy from the Dodgers, Joe Kelly, I think his name is, plunked the player, ended up getting suspended for 7 games.
Yep. Which is like 22% of the season.
Yeah, for real. Like, you only got 60. And you suspended, maybe it wasn't 7, I think it was 5. But still, That's a hefty suspension.
I did see funny tweet. People were like, Manfred didn't punish the Astros, so the players are definitely going to. I don't think that this is going to, like, keep people from continuing to punish the Astros, punish them. Also, specifically, it was the Dodgers who were the one team that specifically got they suffered the loss. So,
but I think definitely everybody is going to every new series that they have on a new team, I guarantee you there's probably going to be at least one, maybe two instances where they get plunked.
Except the Nationals. I feel like the Nationals are going to be like, y'all tried.
We got a ring, bit.
Right. Like, so I feel like the Nationals aren't going to do it.
Before we hang up, two of the most electric fighters in history are going to have an exhibition. I know everybody, you know, Mike Tyson has been doing these little Instagram videos of him working out, getting in better shape, and I don't think anybody ever thought anything of it other than you still don't want to mess with Mike Tyson. Like, let's be real. But apparently he's doing it for a reason, because him and my boy Roy Jones Jr. are going to have a boxing exhibition.
Yes.
And this is like boxing's version of Versus. Like, I'm down with this.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not going to be down with this, and I'm not going to watch it, because the only way you got me to watch boxing before was a fight party.
Oh, okay. Well, so, if you don't normally watch boxing, then yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched a Versus thing either. There's also that.
So this is going to be weird, because I don't know if Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson are actually going to, like, I know it's an exhibition, but I don't know how hard they're going to punch each other, because obviously Mike Tyson was a heavyweight, and I think Roy Jones, I think the highest weight class he went up to was light heavyweight. So I don't know what's going to happen. And also, former basketball player Nate Robinson is boxing a YouTube star on the undercard. So this is about to be a bunch of, this is about to be a whole pile of foolishness. But I'm going to be watching it, so.
And finally, I guess college football schedules are starting to come out.
Whether they get played or not is another story.
Right. So the ACC dropped their schedule today. They'd already announced that they were going to a conference-only schedule, but the biggest question with the ACC was, what happens with Notre Dame? Because Notre Dame doesn't have a conference, and if all the leagues are going conference-only, where do they play? But they do have they are part of the ACC in every other sport, and they played a minimum of 5 ACC teams per year. The ACC announced an 11-game schedule today. Notre Dame will play a full ACC schedule, which is great, I guess. I mean, I'm just really interested to see how the money broke down, because between NBC having all the Notre Dame games, ESPN having all of the ACC games, I'm really just interested to see like how like colleges are going to renegotiate their contracts to play less games than what they had played in the past. Now, granted, I'm also kind of interested, because when these contracts were initially done, I don't know that they really had as many games. I feel like there's been increases since then, so.
So the coronavirus forced forced Notre Dame's hand to like go full fledged into the ACC. Could that be, is going to stay that way, or is this just a coronavirus thing?
Right. That's really what I think is going to be really interesting. But I feel like the Florida State schedule continues to remind me that we don't need to have any college football this year as Florida State fans, because we're just going to be depressed. For those that you don't know, FSU will play at home Clemson, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Virginia. And they will play on the road to Duke, Louisville, Miami, NC State, and Notre Dame. If we go 500, I'd be surprised with that schedule and our trash team. So, again, I go back to, you know, FSU probably should have set this one out. In addition to the fact that they've already cut the athletic program's budgets, all the coaches have taken pay cuts, the athletic director's pay cuts, and they've laid off 25 people, FSU has to figure out its life in terms of financially, and this is not going to help.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, we're still, a month out? A month and a half?
Yeah, right now they're saying the season's not going to start until September 7th, so.
this Somebody said on Twitter that, like, if wearing your mask and staying inside for a month meant we could have college football start on time, everybody would do it. Or at least everybody in the South.
But see, like, the thing about it is that I don't know that that's actually accurate, because, I mean, Ohio State announced today that there is no tailgating, no skull session, and they're going to only do up to 20% capacity. So basically, fans are not going to be able to attend Ohio State games this year. They're the first people to say it out loud, but everybody is planning for it, right? Like, nobody is intending to fill up their stadium to, like, the fullest extent. Now, in places like Florida, they're going to say you can, but, like, is the school really ridiculous enough to do it? I don't think so.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I would. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I just think the liability just becomes too much. And FSU needs revenue more than most. But it's also going to be a terrible team. No, I don't think so. I just don't think that they're going to do it.
We'll find out in a month and a half. Probably by the time we record another podcast, we'll know more.
Right.
On that note, well, we have been doing this PSA lately. Continue to stay safe. Wear your mask.
Please.
Black Lives Matter. Please arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. I mean, that's just standard now because, you know, they're just living ghetto fabulous again.
Yeah. It's crazy. Stay safe out there, y'all.